This is an interview with Yanni Athanasiadis on Sunday, the 8th of September 2013, at his home in the Stuart Range Caravan and Tourist Park in the opal mining town of Coober Pedy in the centre of South Australia. The interviewer is Helen Haltis, and the interview is being conducted as part of the Greek Migration Experience Oral Histories Project, an OIGA initiative. It is funded by the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program, Sharing Community Heritage Stories. Welcome, Yanni, and thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed.
Thank you.
Can you please give me, for the record, your full name?
My name is Yanni Athanasiadis.
And where and when were you born, Yanni?
I born in Greece, North Greece. The name is Kozani. On 19th, 8th, 43.
And your parents, were they originally from Kozani, both of them?
No, they born in Turkey, and they came to Greece on 19th, 22.
Is that when the population exchange after World War One?
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember, did they ever say to you how they got from Asia Minor or Turkey to Kozani?
That was a big story, actually. They had a very hard time, a lot been lost. A lot of them that been lost on the way to Greece. And, of course, everybody, I think, knows that. So some they made it, some they didn't. So finally my parents, they land in Greece.
It was a hard time for them, wasn't it?
Very hard. Mm. Of course, they had nothing. They left with no clothes, no money. No, they came in the middle of nowhere. And, of course, everybody can imagine how hard time they had.
And they had to start from scratch.
From scratch, of
yes.
course. Yeah.
Now, in Kozani, what did your parents do for a living?
My father actually was very healthy on the money way, of course. He started a joinery sort of workshop, and he was the only one in that area. So he was one of the lucky kids, actually, out of the others. So we did have millions, but good living.
It was a good living.
Yeah.
And what about your mum? What did she do in the village or in the town?
She was one of the poorest girls that time, but luckily she married my father, so she was successful after that.
Excellent. And how many children did your parents have?
Actually, we are six of us, two girls, four boys.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And where do you fit in? What, first, last, in the order?
Middle.
Oh, you're in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you go to school in Kozani?
Yes, I did. Those years was very hard. The schools wasn't, of course, money why the most of the families that couldn't afford to send kids to school, because wasn't any high schools in the villages. You had to move to the closest city to rent a house and things like this. So I was one of the lucky ones, and actually I was joined private high school. Those years was very few kids that could make that, so I was one of them. But I wouldn't say I was stupid, but I was a little bit cheeky, so I didn't finish the high school. But still, those years I was better than any other kids.
You were very lucky, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
So when you went to this private school, was that in Kozani?
No, in Ptolemaida called...
Ptolemaida. And how far away was that from your home?
It's about 15 kais.
Mm-hmm. Did you go there every day and back?
No, we used to live there.
So you boarded in the...
We rent the house, and every weekend we used to go home. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did all the children go to the same school?
No, only me. Only me.
Only
I was the lucky one, yeah.
Yeah, very lucky. What do you remember about your childhood growing up?
Oh, well, we didn't have the facilities that I've got today as kids. But as I said, I was a bit lucky. I had a bush bike those years. No one of the kids used to have. And I used to eat in a restaurant once, twice a week, which is no one of the kids used to do that. But on the end, when I grow up, I start appreciate what I had. So when I was there, I thought it was nothing. But anyway, I was one of the lucky kids.
Yeah, so you had a good childhood.
Very, very, yeah. Very. I was the spoiled.
You spoiled
out
one.
Of the six, yeah.
There must have been a reason for that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
So when you decided that you didn't want to go to school anymore, what did you do?
Then I moved to Germany for a few years, a little kid, so 17, 19 years old. And actually, I was very healthy on money, why? But unfortunately, I was better than the other people in the town, but still we was poor.
You were still poor.
So I didn't had no suitcase with me.
When you went to Germany?
To Germany, yeah. So I went there, of course, I didn't have the brains to save money. I had a good life. And then, of course, after a few years, I came back to Greece. I joined the army. And then, of course, I grew a little bit more. And I realized I made a mistake in Germany. I was working and spending all the money. So then I decided to come to Australia.
Why did you go to Germany?
Because that was the closest one and the closest country I can go. And my friends went there, so with my friends was a good experience in my life because I didn't want to go to school anymore, so I had to do something. Yeah. And in Greece was, as you know, very poor.
It was a hard time in Greece at the time,
yeah.
That you were there, yes. So we've come back to Greece. You did national service for 2 years.
Yes, I did, yeah.
And then after that, at what age did you finish national service?
I was 23.
You were 23, and you decided on your own that you were leaving for Australia?
Yes, that time they used to have, they call it the MET, the Australian sort of...
It was assisted passage,
yeah,
and it was the Intergovernmental Committee for European Migration,
yes,
and helped a lot of Greeks to come and other Europeans to come to Australia.
Thousands,
yes.
Yes. So, yeah, I applied for it. I put my name down. So then at the same time, I was healthy because you have to go through medication and things and
the medical examination.
Yeah, examinations.
Mm-hmm. What were they looking for?
Well, if you've got any mind illnesses, serious illnesses, and if you was healthy, of course, enough.
Yes, yes.
And if you was actually good enough to use a pick and shovel. And the first thing that I checked was my hands.
Interesting.
And, yeah, that was funny.
So yeah. Did you have calluses on your hands?
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah,
did?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I used to, yeah. But all my life after Germany, mm-hmm, my mind was on business.
You wanted to make money.
Yeah. And the mistakes I make in Germany, that was a good lesson for my rest of my life.
So you learned...
I never did that again. So when I came to Australia, I was one of the good workers. And,
excellent. Were you the first in your family to come to Australia?
No. My sister, the oldest one, she came in 1955.
One of the first ones here?
Yeah.
How did she come here?
Her husband, together, yeah, that play. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you had somebody to come to?
Yeah, and then my sister took my other two brothers. Then they took my other sister, the little one. And, of course, my little sister went back for holiday. she married, and she never came back again, of course.
She stayed in Greece.
Yeah. My older sister, after she had her pension, she moved to Greece, to retire there.
What did your parents think of you, all the children leaving?
Well, one way that was worried, the other way that was happy, because we was very successful in Australia, and that was happy that their kids that have a good life. So one way was hard, the other way that was happy.
It's very difficult for migrants back then, wasn't it? So the decision was made for you to come to Australia. What ship did you come across on?
That was named Patrice.
There were many Greeks in that ship?
A lot. Yeah.
Other nationalities as well, or just Greeks?
That time was a lot of Greeks moving here, so was all Greeks. And
all
then
Greeks.
Lately, they started getting less and less the Greeks, so they used to have other nationalities too on it. Yeah.
You took about a month, or ships used to take about 30, a month to...
37 days.
37 days. Because can you remember 37 days on the ship? What are your memories?
Well, I don't want to remember, because that was my best time I ever had in my life. I was young, plenty girls, good life, no work, plenty food. So it was... I never forget that.
You had a good time.
A very good time. Yeah.
So your first port of call in Australian was Fremantle?
Yes.
So when you arrived in Fremantle, what did you think of Australia then?
Well, because I've been to Germany, I get used to the other countries, sort of. Yeah, everybody else, of course, that was first time out of Greece, that was looking very funny. But for me, it wasn't much different.
So from Fremantle, you went to Melbourne. Port Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then from there, the authorities took you all to Bonegilla, is that correct?
I couldn't go to Bonegilla because I came for... with the government sort of contract. But anybody had any other people here, relatives and things, that could move out of the ship straight to the
All right, so even
family.
though you had an assisted passage, you didn't have to go to Bonegilla.
You don't have to.
Oh, good.
That was happy. If you was find your own way in Australia, so they less expenses for them.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. So your plan was, with assisted passage, to come here, work for 2 years and go back? Or did you say that I'm going to Australia and that's it?
If I was talking to other friends who came together and other Greeks I knew, 95% they used to say, oh, I'm going to make a few dollars and I go back. I never thought about that. Never. I came here and I put plans down and I say, that's going to be my country and I have to establish here. And that was actually one of the best thing I ever did. So I never thought about Greece to go, make money and spend there. So I extend my money all in Australia. So that was very good for my future.
That was your driving force to succeed.
Yeah.
They're excellent. So once you came here, what did you do in Melbourne, that is, sorry?
Well, yeah, when I came to Australia, I was lucky. Of course, my brother was a builder. And the only problem was that he was in Greece when I came here. And I start as a painter. Actually, my first step was Horsham in Victoria. So I did 6 months painting and I saved $600.
A lot of money then?
Those years was a lot of money. But because we was used to work on the bush, they used to feed us, they accommodate accommodation for us, of course. I had no expenses, only smoking and a few drinks. So after that, my brother came back. We start building together. I mean, he was a builder. I was working for him. And then, of course, he decided to go to Cooper Pedy because he'd been to Cooper Pedy before I came to Australia. So as soon as he left from Melbourne. I had nothing else to do because I didn't know anybody else. So I started pizza bar, unusual for Greeks. But anyway, I had Italian boy, he teach me for the first step. But because I was a very hard worker, the shop I started was very successful. I sold the shop, the first one, I bought one house. And thanks to the Australian government, the bank straight away, they, without knowing me, they gave me a loan. And as soon as I sell the first pizza bar, I bought another one. Empty shop, I built it up, was good again. I sold that and I bought a shop site. So that was my start actually. And then I started a third one. So when I sold the third one, I was very tired, 7 days a week. And of course, long hours. The same time, of course, I've been married. And I said to my wife with two kids, daughter and son, let's go to Cuba Pedy visit George, my brother, of course. So we came to Cuba Pedy. Was a little town in the middle of nowhere, wasn't many, much facilities, of course, here, but that was something different. As soon as I stepped to Cuba Pedy, my brother asked me to join them on the mining, to work with them, because that was three partners, and to work on mining on the drill, they bought the Caldwell drill, there had to be two. And one of side, one of course operator. Underground to work, you have to be two sidewise. So I started with them just to try. But if I tell you the truth, that was my best life because it was not many hours working. And after work, I used to go home, have a shower, eat, go to the pub. Beautiful life. So I was the only one, I was only spending money because I didn't have a share on the drill. So if I was fined double, I was gonna get my shares. So the problem was I was nearly broke. The first dollar I fined was after 5 years.
So you took your money for 5 years before you found any opal?
5 years before I found the dollar. Anyway, I was just about ready to move out. And one day my brother came home, he drilled a shaft, he finds opal. So that was good. He holds me back, of course. And as soon as we finished the mining, I work out the money I find. That was just about enough to cover the money I lost. Everybody calls me lucky miner because I ran out of mining. I never liked gambling, and opal mining is the biggest gambling. If you do find, you're right. You make millions. If you don't, you lose whatever you have. So instead I go back to Melbourne and start another pizza bar. The shop was, the pizza bar was in Cuba Pedy. He shuts down because he did the mic all right. So I started a pizza bar and I get out of mining. So the shop, as usual, was very good shop, very successful. And like everybody, when you work in one sort of job all your life, you get sick of it. So I was thinking to make something different. In that time, they start actually seal the road, the mine road, Stuart Highway, from Port Augusta to Alice Springs. And I was thought, maybe I was smart, maybe it was a big chump. I thought if that road seals, will be a lot of vents passing through. And that's the only road, the center of Australia. So I decided to spend the money I make on caravan park, because wasn't enough facilities in Cuba Pedy. That was little ones, 35 pair sites that time. So I bought, actually I had the block of land through the council that was on tender, the block of land. It was 22 of us apply for it. So through the bank, I had the best result of money. So I had to get reading Karandi, how much money you have and how much you're gonna spend in. So I was the most successful, so I was lucky. So they gave it to me. And I don't know, I've got beautiful business, but one way is I spent all my life in that caravan park. So I make money, but I haven't got a life. So one way lucky, one way not.
But you enjoy it here. You enjoy the life here.
I do. That's my baby. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Now let's go back now. When you originally came to Cooper Pedy with your family, you came just to have a look.
That's right. Visit.
But it became a very long visit.
Yeah.
And what about your family after a while, your wife and children? Did they want to stay here?
Well, my kids, that was 1 year old and 5 years old, very little ones. And my wife also is always with me. We was very good team, actually. And she didn't mind to move from here to Melbourne or anywhere else. So what's the difference? We move from Greece here. What's the difference? Melbourne or Adelaide? So long as we are in Australia.
Exactly, so long as you're together and in Australia, as you said,
so
and you were successful.
I had no problems with my family.
Yeah,
so
that was good. Now, can you tell us very briefly, in 73, when you were here in Cooper Pedy, how did you mine the opal? What was the process?
That was actually a good question. When I start by pick and shovel. And I used to do the shafts by hand. Lucky I wear bigger shovel with explosives. Wasn't many machinery those years.
Oh, with dynamite.
Yeah, dynamite explosives, the same thing actually. So that was the most dangerous part of work on mining, because one of the miners had to be in the shaft to dig, fill up the buckets that had hand winches on the top. And a little mistake from the top, the bottom miner was gone. So we used to have a lot of accidents.
You did?
A lot of accidents. Today, they're all with machineries. And actually, 99.9, they use tunneling machines, which is no explosives at all. Not dynamite.
So how does it work? Tell us briefly.
That is expensive project. You have to have two engines, one to run the generator, because the tunneling machines, they shouldn't have any fumes underneath, so they run by electricity. So one engine for the generator has to be over 50 kVi generator, so that means big engine. And one engine for the fan. The fan is actually a machine, it's a vacuum machine. It sucks the dirt from the bottom to the top. So he makes it very easy. No buckets, no picks, no. The only time you're using a pick is to dig the level to take the opal out. So you pick the opal from the bottom. But when you pick an opal, you don't mind if you use pick, because you play with a lot of money. So
you can see it, it's there.
You don't even think about it. So,
yes. Right. Now, how far down, how deep do you go?
It all depends the area. Of course, I don't know if the people that I know, the sandstone creates the opal, the silicon of the sandstone. And the first thing they do when they're drilling, they're looking for sandstone, if they go in a new area. So if they find sandstone, means is opal somewhere. And then after that, they're looking for the levels, the layer. Right, the opal is all in that level. And some areas level is 5 feet, 10 feet. Some areas goes up to 100 feet. So yeah, it's all depends the area. Some areas that have no sandstone at all. So we work different depth.
So once you get to a particular level, do you do any tunneling as well?
So what you do is as soon as you finish drilling, you go down with the light and you check if you have levels. If you do have levels, levels means is a dark line and has different color of the rest of the ground. So you can tell strike-wise is a level. As soon as you find that, you check it if there's any opal in it. And that's actually, the opal is just luck. You might drill a shaft and you miss the opal 1 foot. So as soon as you find that and you find opal, you go down, you have to put explosives, diamonds.
Even now?
Even now. So what you do is you keep the level above your head. So you have to put the explosives below the level. So you make the tunnel high enough so you can walk straight and you keep your level above your head. So as soon as you do that, you make enough spice for the machine, you open it, then you put the machine down with a crane.
How big is the initial drill hole that you make?
The normal shafts are between 33 to 36 inches diameter. So it's big enough to go up and down and put the pipes from the machine in. If you want to use tunneling machine, you have to put extensions on the top of the bucket of the drill and you rim the shaft. The shaft has to be over 5 feet. So one car easy can fit in. So big shafts, very dangerous.
Very dangerous, yes.
But we never use big shafts to go up and down. Always we make a normal shaft next to it and we connect it from underneath. So we go up and down from the small shaft and we put the pipe from the big shaft and we continue from there.
That's an awful lot of work.
It is a big job, yeah.
A big job. And how do you select the area that you drill to begin with?
Actually, when you go in a new area, usually goes the ones that have the drills, because the drilling cost them nothing, because to hire a drill to die will cost you every shaft over $400-$500. Right. So the new drillers that go in the new areas that drilling, all the other miners that keep an eye on him. As soon as he finds opal, they peck around him.
Oh, right.
A client. Because every miner is allowed to pick one client. So he can't pick the whole area. And the opal is not everywhere. Opal is just luck. You can't tell from the top where is a good area or bad area. So that's what I do. So I follow the drillers and I know somewhere is a big patch of opal.
So do you need a license to drill?
Well, to do mining, you have to be a miner.
A qualified miner? No,
doesn't need. So long as to get the miner's rights, we call them the four little plastic number plates. So you have to go to the mines department, you apply for this, and that will take an hour. And they give you four little plastic number plates with a number on it. And you put them on four pegs, and you go anywhere you want to peg a climb. The climbs actually, there are two sizes. One is 50 by 50 meters. The other one is 50 by 100 meters. So you're allowed to peg one out of those two sizes on time. The only difference is, of course, when you peg a climb, you're allowed to keep the climb, say, 14 days free. After that, If you want to continue, you have to register the client. So the difference is on the retro price. So if you register a client, the small one will cost you around $160 a year. The big one is, of course, double price. And if you do find double, you have to renew them every year. Yeah. So the same, the miner's rights.
Okay, so we've pegged our claim, and we've dug down, and you find opal. Who are the buyers?
Well, we have a lot of opal buyers from overseas. They come from America, China, the most from China, actually. Canada, Germany, from everywhere. Mm. Yeah, and we sell the opal 95% rough. Right. They clean it up. And I different categories, of course, first class, second class, third class. So you put the price, you call the opal buyer, and the deal is very short. Doesn't matter how big the opal is. Yes, and you sell it to the overseas. Yeah.
You would have seen some very successful miners, and some would have dug, and as you said, 5 years it took you before you found your first one. But also you would have seen some miners who made a lot of money and lost it.
That was the biggest problem. That's why I ran out, actually, of mining. That was a good lesson for me. It was all the miners I keep telling me I find big money and I was stupid. I didn't extend my money, buy properties, things, because I used to sell the opal black money, cash money, put it under the bed. Of course, good life, casinos, holidays, women's, and I thought I'm gonna find again, but luck is not every day. And a lot of them that came, young boys here to make future with big dreams, my family, and I finished on scratch with no family and nobody. Yeah, that was the worst part of the miners.
That's a problem with mining towns, isn't it?
Well, if they haven't got brines, they have problems. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that problem. Mm-hmm.
But you decided that you didn't want that life and you invested your money. And as you said previously, that you thought that with the sealing of the Stuart Highway, a caravan would be a good idea.
Yeah.
So you bought your 20 acres on virtually on the Stuart Highway, and you built a caravan.
Yes.
Did you move away from mining altogether?
That's a big problem. Mining is a very funny game. It's a very exciting game. And it gets in my blood, of course. Still, I dream about, but because I know it's risky, I do a bit for hobby. I've got all the machineries sitting there, $70,000, and I work maybe 1-2 weeks a year. So still I love it.
So it's still in your blood.
Oh, yes, it is, yes.
Now, with the caravan park, it's a magnificent park that you have here. You've extended it and developed it almost like a tourist resort. With the on-site vans and the powered sites, and you've got your cabins, or we shouldn't call them cabins now, should we? They're little apartments on here.
Yes.
How did you expand so much?
As we start from the scratch, I'm actually a funny person. Everybody makes money, and they're too greedy to spend the money, or they take them out for Cuba Pidi. I'm a different person. So I love to see where I start, finish it. And no one spends money in Cuba Pidi. I was the only one. I spent big money in Cuba Pidi. Whatever I did, I spent it back. And I'm the only one I have 4-star apartments in Cuba Pidi. So thanks to the government, actually, they seen that, they heard that, and because we have a lot of other companies around Cuba Pidi, the public service workers, that was expecting better quality of things. So I decided to build 7 apartments, 4-star. Of course, the government seen that. And because I want to extend, upgrade the other rooms I have, another 24 rooms, I didn't have the money. So the government actually decided to help me dollar by dollar, and they gave me a grant to make the other rooms, which is thank them very much. So I'm going to extend the other ones too. I want to finish this before I pass away.
It's beautiful setup you have here.
The other way, I'm lucky, very lucky, not many kids hanging around with their own parents. And my son decided to take over, which is good. He will give me a bit of break. So he's actually in charge now, and he's going to do the rest of the things.
Good, that's wonderful. Because did you find that most of the children that grew up in Cooper Pedy actually left and went to the cities?
They did, because there's not much life around here. And because they don't want to hang around with their parents, as usual, that's everywhere. That's the biggest problem. But I'm very lucky.
You're very lucky, yes. Now, let's go back now. When you came here, there were many, many Greeks working in Cooper Pedy. And you developed a Greek community?
We was the biggest population of, because we have 42 nationalities in Cooper Pedy. It was the biggest, actually, population was the Greeks. Of course, we have all the nationalities that have clubs. And also, we have a beautiful, the biggest club in Cooper Pedy. And you cannot tell me, I don't want somebody to come in Cooper Pedy and hear this story now, and then they say, Yanni didn't say the truth. Even who was the biggest population, Greeks that have the smallest church in the town and the biggest club in the town. That means anything?
What does that mean?
They're a little bit pisspots, actually. They're funny. Everybody laughs about it. Said, why did they spend money on the church and spend on the club? So, yeah, we have a beautiful club, yeah.
And what other entertainment did you have here within the Greek community? What sort of things did you do?
Not many left because of the big companies around, around Cooper Pedy. Gold and mines and, iron. And so all the youth, they move out.
But
they start working there, they get good money. And, of course, the companies, they flew them anywhere they live, anywhere in Australia. So why they should stay in Cooper Pedy?
Exactly, it's no future.
They took their kids away. They have the better education and, of course, better facilities.
But when you came here in the 70s and a little bit later, when there was a booming industry and the children were much younger, what sort of entertainment was provided, or did you provide yourselves for your families? Did you have Greek cinemas? Did you have theatres? You had the Glendi, didn't you?
We have a Glendi. Was once a year, and we have a drive-in, and every say once a week they used to have different nationality films, so Australian, Greeks, Yugoslavs, Italians, they have different nights. So, and then we had soccer teams. Every nationality had his own soccer team, and we used to play together. And that was our at the time, and actually.
That would have been fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, very good life. Very
excellent. Good. Yeah. Tell me, within the Greek blood, we are religious and we need our Greek Orthodox church.
Yeah.
When the Greeks came here, obviously there was no church.
Yeah.
But you built a Greek church. Can you tell me a little bit about how that happened?
How we built that, actually. We was going to go to build it, but the start was when was very few Greeks here. Was a minor, young boy named Nick. And unfortunately, he'd been killed of mining. And his father came to Cooper Pedy and he built the church, a little church. and he puts his name, and that's why St. Nicholas called the church.
Mm-hmm.
And after it was gonna extended, but it never happens. And still is a little church. That's how we build the church.
Excellent. And does that church have a church service regularly?
We have three times a year. St. Nicola, the name of the church, and every Christmas and Easter. And we have to bring a priest from Andelite, which is costly.
So you pay for the traveling?
We have to buy everything. Traveling, him, yeah, everything, yeah.
And
accommodation, so yes.
Mm, so it's costly, but three times a year, it'd be wonderful for the church to have the
well,
service.
Yes, yes, yes.
Isn't it
but,
wonderful?
To bring a priest here, you have to pay him every week, so we can't afford to do that.
No. You said that there are other mines in the area as well that the younger generation can work either from here or from the other cities. What other companies drill for various minerals here?
That's iron, of course, a lot of copper, gold, coal, yeah.
And this is all close to Cooper Pedy?
The first one starts was is 130 kais from Cooper Pedy, and then the next one is about 65, and the last one is 40, and they're drilling very close. They find the Reckon oil and things 20 kais, so there are four companies around Cooper Pedy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with these companies, once they find their minerals, how do they get it to port?
By train. Everything they move them out by train, yeah.
What, down to Port Adelaide?
They used to go Port Pirie, from Port Pirie, yeah.
Yes, out from Port Pirie,
yeah.
And then out for overseas?
I think the most goes to China, yeah. They have a contract with them. So
would the iron ore be the biggest mining here?
Yes, it is, yes.
And with those miners, do you know how they work? Do they work?
They work 2 weeks, 12 hours a day, 1 week off. So 1 week, they flew them anywhere they live.
So the company pays for the transport backwards and forwards, as well as their salaries, and as well as their accommodation and their...
Accommodation, food, everything free.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem for Cooper Pedy is they all have a camp, wherever they work, they live there. So they promise us they're going to stay in Cooper Pedy, but nothing happened. So Cooper Pedy used to be over 5,000 population. Today is not even a half. And opal miners, they're getting less every year because all the youth, no one works on opal mining.
But as you said, it's a bit of a gamble as well. You don't
it
know
is,
if you're going to find anything or not.
Yeah.
Now, you have these workers coming in for the mines for 2 weeks on and 1 week off. What about in the Cooper Pedy, in the city, in the town? You said that you have the public servants that come here and work and they want accommodation, so that's why you're expanding your caravan park. Is it the same for these people as well? Do they come in for short periods of time to work, say, in the bank or in the offices?
Not the big companies, but what's happened is Cooper Pedy is the center of South Australian desert. And of course, all the public service, it's in Cooper Pedy. So the whole area, Cooper Pedy area, they have service from here, bank, post office, Telstra, highway depot, TIFE, welfare, family, but they're all in Cooper Pedy. So that keeps the town actually goes. So they're in and out.
These are the people that want accommodation that you're building at the moment to live.
Yes.
Yeah. You talked about TAFE. You've got an area school here in Cooper Pedy.
Of course, we do have beautiful area school, school and high school. And we have about 250 kids in the school, which
wonderful.
For a small town is a lot.
And you've also got TAFE. Now, what does your TAFE here specialise in?
Specialising on opal cutting course. So it's the only type in Australia has an opal cutting course.
Does that mean that you get students from overseas coming as well as Australian students?
I didn't see very few from overseas, but we have a lot of people from other states that come here in 6 months course, actually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, to learn about cutting opal and work on opal. Mm. Yeah.
Being here for such a long time, were you able to get involved in local government at all?
Well, I love doing it because you know what's going on around, of course, and I love the town. I want to help the town. I've been in the council as a councillor, and you know, I'm getting old, of course. My son is in. So my son is the third term now. Yeah, I did 4 years, and I was in the Greek club, involved too in the committee.
So you were in the Greek community association as well?
Yes, yes.
That's wonderful. When we drove in here, we noticed that you are on Stuart Highway, but you turn into Yannicka's Drive. How did that come about?
When people that used to come in Cooper Pedy and they used to start mining, whoever, any miner was going in a new area, he used to put his name, because every area that have a, say, Olympic field and things like this. So that happens the same in Cooper Pedy town. A lot of people that used to build a house in one area, as soon as the road was built, they put his name. And when I built the caravan park, they have to make a road so I can come into the park. And the council was very busy, so they told me, if you fill up the road, make it ready for seal, we can seal it for you. Because that was very busy. And I did all that. I paid the most of the cost. And then the time comes for the name. They asked me, what name you want us to put on? I said, did David build the road or Jack? He said, no, what do you mean? I said, did Yanni build this road? Oh, they start laughing. I said, you're right. So they put it Yannicka's Drive, my name.
Why Yannicka and not Yanni?
In Greece, if you're a small man, they call you Yannicka.
Small as in short.
Yeah, as a short, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everybody knows you as Yannicka.
As Yannicka, yeah.
Well, that's really lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did you ever go back to Greece?
Well, you love the place wherever you're born, but not for good. So this is my country. I did the most of my life here. I love it. So I've been a couple of times. I have relatives there. I have friends. Of course, you can't forget that. But not for good.
You went back for a holiday.
Yeah, I did, yes.
And when you were leaving, you were going back home to Australia? You classified Australia as home.
Yes, yes, yes. My country. Now, my home is Australia.
Did your parents ever come to Australia to see what you do?
My mum came. She spends 4 years with us.
Here in Cooper Pedy?
And here. Melbourne and here, yeah. Mm.
What did she think of Cooper Pedy?
Well, she grew up, born in Turkey, grew up in Greece, and had a lot of kids in Greece and friends there. And it was very hard for her. She used to love us, loved the country, but she couldn't speak English and had no friends around, neighbors and things like this. It was very hard for her, only us. And all of us, she was talking about Greece and Greece. And my older sister was in Australia, so when she had the pension from Australia, of course, she took mom back, so they live now together. They used to live. My mom's passed away, so they used to live in Greece.
Oh, that's
she
wonderful.
Was very happy there.
That's wonderful. When you came to Australia in When did you?
73.
73. I beg your pardon. Yeah, in 73.
Sorry.
73. That's right. You came to Coopedia in 73.
Yeah.
But when you came to Australia initially, could you speak English?
Because I was in a private school in Greece, we had a course English, so I couldn't speak properly. I had a lot of words. You know, that helped me a lot. In a few months, I was able to speak.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's unusual, isn't it, for a Greek migrant?
It helps me a lot.
Yes, yeah.
So, yes.
So now you're here, you're expanding the caravan park. Do you intend staying here?
In Coopedia, I love it. I spent half of my life. But the truth is, wherever my kids go, I'll be there. So it's no point to stay here and my kids there somewhere else. I have a beautiful grandkids, three beautiful grandkids. So
that's wonderful. And can you see a future here for your grandchildren?
No, not at all, because we are too far away from entertainments. And the schools are, of course, different. And if they want to extend their education, they have to move out, Adelaide, wherever.
And also employment opportunities they would have here,
yes.
As they would have in the cities.
The facilities are not the same like you've got in the cities. Yeah.
But would you keep your business here?
I love keeping them, but how, if my son doesn't continue, what I'm going to do? So it's up to him now what he's going to do.
If the time comes and you have to sell, how will you feel?
Well, the time comes, we're going to pass away. You don't feel well. That's the same thing. So it's no choice, right? So I love it, as I said, but that's not the end of my life.
Yeah. Now, you've got a wonderful setup here, and I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your story with us. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't covered?
So thank you, the government sent you here, actually gave me the opportunity to save my life, and you will do that to somebody else too. And good for the Greeks and all the nationalities, of course. Thank you very much.
Now we would like to thank you for having us here and also for your hospitality.
No problem.
Thank you very much. And I'd never been here before, but I think I'm going to come back.
Good on you.
There's something about Coopedia, isn't there?
Welcome.
But there's something in the air.
It is. The best place I've ever been in my life. Nice and quiet, friendly, very friendly people. So, yes.
One thing that I didn't ask, and luckily I thought about it now, Coopedia to me equals dugouts. And yet there are a lot of houses and a lot of businesses that are not dugouts.
Actually, Coopedia is over 65% underground, like Rapids. That's the only place in the world. And the best part of it is the underground houses that have a steady temperature between 20 to 25. So they don't have to use heaters or air conditions. Doesn't matter how the weather is outside. The only is if you want to go to your bedroom, you have to put the lights on. That's the only difference.
And you haven't got any windows?
The front part of the dugouts, they have windows, which is, you put the kitchen there, you spend the most of your time, lunch room, so not to put the lights on, and plus for fresh air.
It's not really, we say dugouts and all underground, it's not actually really digging straight down, is it?
No, that's ground level.
You dig into the side of a mountain, isn't it?
Yes, it has to be a hill.
Yes, yes.
And what you do is you cut the hill and you remove all the loose ground. As soon as you get to the solid ground, has to be a sandstone and solid ground, then you put the tunnel machine through and you dig your house. So it's a ground level.
So your house is in a tunnel?
Tunnels, yeah.
And you open up other tunnels sideways for different rooms?
You make them square.
But for different rooms as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting setup. Once again, Yanni, thank you very much.
Thank you.